If you will, take your Bibles, turn me to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2 is we'll be taking our reading from this morning. I do ask for you to be much in prayer for the remainder of the service today. I told you it's going to be a little different. Going to be hopefully a little bit of excitement for you. I know it is to me as God was giving me this message. You know I tell y'all this from time to time, but I wish that I could take the feeling that I get when God is pouring this into me and have it come out when it comes out of me. But, you know, between where God gives it to me and the place where y'all get it, there's a whole lot of error. There's a whole lot of mistake. There's a whole lot of flesh. So y'all pray for me as we get into the message this morning. I want to be obedient unto God. I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. I want us to focus on the things that God wants us to focus on. And most of all, if you're here this morning and you're saved, I want you to leave here feeling closer to God than you were when you came. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, my ultimate goal is that you meet the best thing, the best person, the best relationship you'll ever have. I pray that you meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I'm such a failure. God, I don't deserve to stand here this morning. I'm so unworthy, but God, I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes me worthy, God. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your word this morning, God, you know how nervous I am. God, you know how fast my heart's beating right now. And God, I pray that you'll just calm me. God, I pray that you'll give me exactly what you want us to have. God, may we worship you. May we give you glory. God, may we thank you for loving us so much to allow Jesus Christ to come and give his life for us. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's here. I pray that every need will be met. Most of all, I pray for anyone here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that not only do they just come and hear the word of God, but they respond and they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Matthew chapter number 2, Shannon, I told you incorrectly. We're only going to go through about verse number 12 instead of reading the whole chapter this morning. But as we get into the scripture here in Matthew chapter number 2, very familiar scripture, and I'm sure that most of you have heard this scripture and probably could quote some of these verses here in Matthew chapter number 2, but let's begin reading with verse number 1. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When we had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, listen to this right here, it's going to be important here in a second. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And not yet. I'll tell you when. You don't have to yet. And when they start, I don't give very good instructions sometimes. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You won't have to guess what I want this morning. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. One time my grandfather was preaching, and he preached all Sunday morning about the wise men bringing gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. I'm glad they didn't bring Frankenstein. They brought frankincense. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I want to focus on two or three key points here in Matthew chapter number 2. First of all, I want us to look in the first couple of verses how the Bible tells us that there was wise men that came and they followed a star to come unto Jesus. Now, I want you to realize that the best that I can study and find out that this event was taking place somewhere around 5 to 7 B.C. That would be the year that we were looking at here as the birth of Christ. And you say, well, how could it be B.C.? Look, I don't know. I just done some studying, and that's what I read. So just go with me here. So somewhere around 5 to 7 B.C. is when we're talking about here. Now, as we're looking at these wise men that came to look for Jesus, as we're looking at these men, I want you to know that when they mention, you remember when I told you to pay close attention about how the Bible said according to the prophet? Well, that prophet that they were talking about was Isaiah. And you can go back and you can study that. And Isaiah was somewhere in between 600 and 700 B.C. So for 600 years or 500 years, this had been passed and told. And these wise men, they knew that there was a coming Messiah. They knew that that Jesus Christ was supposed to be born. You can go back into Isaiah. Let me look at it right here. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The prophecy of Jesus Christ was given in Isaiah some 600 years before this took place. And what I want you to notice is special about these wise men. These wise men were astrologers. They studied the stars. They tried to figure out what was going on by the stars and by the prophets and the prophecy that had been told. And when they saw this star and they began to follow this star, they knew in their heart that that star was going to lead them to the Messiah. I want you to look at the faith that they had to follow this star over 500 years of people telling them that this was going to happen. And now that it has happened and they've studied the stars and they see this star, and now they're going to find Jesus. They were so sure of what they were going to find. They were so sure that their faith was good. They were so sure that the Word of God was good and they could count on the Word of God that even when they come into Jerusalem and Herod began to inquire of them, where are you going? And they said, we have found a star and we are going to find him that's born King of the Jews. They were so sure, and no doubt in my mind, as they went to go find the baby Jesus, as they went to go see where this star was leading them, that there was probably people that said, you're crazy. There's no way. We've been hearing this same message for 500 years that a baby was going to be born and he was going to be our Messiah. We've been hearing the same message for 500 years that God was going to send a deliverer to Israel. We've been hearing that same, y'all are crazy to go follow a star. Y'all are insane. There is no reason. But I'm glad that no matter what the world said, no matter what people around them said, they chose to follow the Word of God and the prophecy that God had given them through Isaiah. I want us to know this morning that no matter what this world says, they may say we're crazy, they may say we're insane, but I want you to know that God is real, that His Word is real, and you can always count on His Word. This world is going to tell us that we should compromise. Now go ahead. This world is going to tell us that we should compromise. This world is going to tell us that we should change. This world is going to tell us that we need to bend the rules just a little bit. But I want to tell you this morning, you can't bend this rule right here. That this good old Bible that I'm carrying this morning, the Word of God is still true. We got to stand on it. We got to believe in it. When it seems like you're insane, when it seems like you're crazy, when it seems like everybody else is looking at you like you're a nut, I want you to know I'd rather be a nut for Jesus Christ than anything I know. And I want you to know that you can count on this Word this morning. Keep standing on the Word. Go ahead, choir. Sing me the first verse in the chorus, please. I didn't know we was going to have a Christmas cantata this morning, did you? Neither did they. Neither did I till this morning. Man, I'm going to tell you, this world is going to tell us that we got to conform or we're going to be left behind. But I'm going to tell you what, those that don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior is the only ones that's going to be left behind. I'd rather be left behind according to this world's standards any day of the week than to know that I missed an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We got to keep standing on the Word. We got to keep going with the Word. Now let's go a little further. These men, they went and they inquired. Hey, where is this King of the Jews? We're going to find him. We followed this star. We've been studying this star. And man, we followed this star. And we know that the King of the Jews is born. And we're out to find him. Well, I want you to notice what Herod did. Herod said, I tell you what, when you go and you find that baby boy, I want you to come back to me and I want you to tell me where he is that I may come and worship him also. But you know what? It was part of an evil plan. Herod was going to go and he was going to kill Jesus because Herod knew that his competitor had just arrived on the scene, that he was no longer going to be king, that he was no longer going to be ruler because the real king had been born. Hey, I want to tell you something. This world is going to set up all kinds of kings. They're going to set up all kinds of people that we're supposed to follow and listen to and all that. But I want to tell you what, there's only one king and his name is Jesus. Can I tell you something about this Herod? See, Herod was so wicked. Herod was so cruel. Herod had 10 wives. Herod had, I don't know how many children. But Herod felt that one time that one of his wives was going to threat to him and his kingdom, he had his wife killed. Herod felt that some of his sons was a threat to his kingdom. He had his 3 oldest sons murdered, killed. And he thought that his kingdom was protected. He thought that everything that he had was all protected because he was in charge. But can I tell you something? That there came a day when King Herod died. And the Bible tells me, and history tells me, and you can go back and look. I want to give you the name of the place that Herod was the first to try to do away with Jesus. But however, today, Herod is buried in the Herodian fortress. Guess where that's at? Bethlehem. This king that was so powerful, this king that had everything took care of, and he even went so far that after he'd done the math in his head and realized what time that Jesus may have been born, that he sent and said, I want every kid in Bethlehem under the age of 2, I want them killed. I'm going to take care of this. I am king. But today, Herod lays in a grave. Today, Herod is dead. And he is born in Bethlehem, having to overlook the place where the real king was born. Hey, this world may set up all kinds of people they want to. They may put people in political power. They may do all that. But I want you to know something, that there is only one king, and his name is Jesus. All of these kings, all of these powers, all of these rulers, they're going to one day find themselves in a grave. They're going to one day find themselves out of power. But I want to tell you this morning that King Jesus was in a grave, but it only lasted for about 3 days. It only lasted for a short time. The grave couldn't hold him. I want to tell you what, this Herodian grave, this Herodian fortress that's holding Herod, it's still holding him today. But I want to tell you something, the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. He had power over death, hell, and the grave. And today he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Today his Holy Spirit is here with us because he's alive and well. We are serving the true King. Go ahead, sing another verse. Amen. Tell you something. There is another power. There is another force. There is another person who believes that he's in charge. Satan believes that he's in charge today. Satan believes that he is king, and he is fooling so many people, giving them so much just phony mess to believe in. He is giving them so. But you want to know something? Let me encourage you with something, because even as Christians, we still deal with that old rascal, don't we? Even as children of God this morning, he still attacks our minds. He attacks our emotions. He attacks everything about us. He attacks our lives, trying to get our focus off of God, off of the one true King. He attached us so much. But can I tell you that the end of my Bible tells me of a day that he's going to be bound hand and foot, and he's going to be cast into a bottomless pit, that he's going to finally, that old rascal is going to hell one day. Hallelujah. I'm glad that one day my trials, my troubles, my burdens that comes from Satan, that King Jesus is finally going to take my place, and he is going to reach down and he's going to bind him hand and foot and put him into the bottomless pit. There is only one king this morning. He may have been born in Bethlehem, but today he is sitting waiting to come get his church. Today he's waiting for us to come and be in his presence. Sing that second verse, please, one more time. Almost done. I told you I wasn't going to be here long this morning. I know y'all usually don't believe me when I say that. I want to take one more look at one more thing here in this scripture. I want you to look at the star. This star that led these men to Jesus. Now listen, here was the message that God started with that I've been burning on since last Sunday when I left here. I mean, it wasn't no more than I got in a car and this was the thought that hit my mind. And the rest of this has been free. So here comes the part you got to pay for. This star that led these men to Jesus. You know what? We're living in a day and a time where everybody wants to be a star. They want to be a basketball star. They want to be a baseball, softball, volleyball, tennis, golf, movie star. They want to be able to sing and be a star and make all this money and be powerful. You know what? It is amazing the kind of power that we allow these people to have. It's amazing the influence that we allow them to have in our lives, in our kids' lives. It's amazing the money that there is if you're a star. It's amazing to me that people become stars and all of a sudden their word overrides the word of God. That's baloney. That's foolishness. Christians, shame on us for not standing up for the word of God. Just because some old dude or dudette or whatever they are gets on TV and says something, that don't change what my Bible says. Just because some baseball star gets on TV and says something, how some movie star says something, I want to tell you something. Can we at least be educated enough to get in the Word of God and let's double check what these people are saying and let's stand on the Word of God? Man, we're raising a generation that if they can get on YouTube and hear it, they believe it. We're raising a generation that if we get in on a computer and somebody tells us something, if we turn on the news and somebody tells us something, that's the kind of power that we've given these stars. We just believe it and we go with it. Can I tell you, we need to encourage our next generation that this right here is truth. When it hurts, when it feels good, the Bible tells me that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut coming and a going sometimes. But I also want you to know that this Word of God is comfort like you have never seen before. That it's love like you've never felt before. That it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, this Word, it hurts sometimes. But then there is nothing better than this Word. We need to be raising a generation that believes in the Word of God. These men, they were following that star. Today, everybody wants to be a star. But can I encourage us this morning? Instead of wanting to be a star on a baseball field, a softball field, a basketball court, on the movies. Instead of wanting to be that kind of star, let's be a star like this was and point men to Jesus Christ. Point men and women to the best gift that has ever been given. Sometimes we look and we see the power, we see the influence, we see the money, we think, man, how great it would be to have that. But there is nothing greater than salvation. There is nothing greater than the forgiveness of sins that I experience. There's nothing better than the grace of God that I experience every day in my life. There is nothing greater than that. And I hope this morning that deep in our hearts, that somewhere in our spiritual being, that we would be willing to give it all for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I encourage us to be a star and point men to Jesus? Instead of pointing them to power or influence, let's point them to the Messiah, the Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Everlasting Father. Now, you know, those are a lot of names that they give Jesus in the Bible. Those are those powerful names that we find in the Bible. But I want to tell you what he's been to me. Man, he's been a forgiver of my sins. You know, at the age of 7, when I realized that I needed forgiveness of my sin, from that very moment, I was now accountable for my sin. From the moment that I realized that I needed forgiveness of sin, I was then accountable. I was lost and on my way to hell. I've had many people ask me, what is the age of accountability? I don't know. For me, it was about 6. I remember the first time that God spoke in my life. For others, it may be older. But from the very moment that you realize that, you are now accountable of your sins. But I'm thankful at the age of 7 that I hit my knees one night and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and he is the forgiver of my sins. That he is my comfort when life goes wrong. When things happen in my life and I don't understand them, and I don't know what God's doing, and I can't seem to find an explanation, I'm glad that I've got comfort through the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that I've got comfort through God's Word that can reach down and that can comfort me when you can't, when my wife can't, when nobody else can. I'm glad that I have a comfort through Jesus Christ. He's my hope, my joy, and my peace. We know that the Bible tells us if the only hope that we have is in this world, then we are of all men most miserable. But I'm glad that my hope is not of this world. My money may run out. My health may run out. My friends may run out. But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is never going to run out. I belong to him, and you can't do anything about it. Nobody can do anything about it. He is my hope, my joy, and my peace. Sometimes it's hard to be happy about things. But I want to tell you what, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can have a joy down in your heart. You can have, I hate to call it happiness because I believe happiness, it comes and goes. But the joy of Jesus Christ, knowing that if I walk out of those doors today, if I have a wreck on my way home and I die, if I go to the doctor tomorrow and they tell me that I've got cancer, now look, I'm not going to say I'm not going to battle it. I'm not going to say I'm not going to have an emotional and a mental battle, but I'm going to tell you somewhere down in my heart, I believe I'm going to have joy knowing that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And either way, I'm going to be in his presence one day. I believe I can have that kind of joy. He's my peace. Man, when you look at our government, when you look at our world, when you look at our country, there's not a whole lot of peace, but there's peace in Jesus Christ. There is joy in Jesus Christ. Man, he's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sometimes there's things in my life that I don't even tell my wife. There's things that trouble me and I don't even tell my wife. I probably should because she's such a great supporter and such a strength in my life, but I don't want to bring her down. I don't want to have her battling the same things that I am, but I want to tell you something. I can go and get in my prayer closet and I can spill it all out to Jesus, and he's always there. He has never let me down. He is one, listen, who knows me completely. Yet he loves me. Y'all don't know me completely. Y'all have heard me preach for 3 years, going on 3 years, be official come February. Look, I do my best to live my life in a Christian way, to have a good testimony. I don't want to do anything that would give this church a black eye. More than that, I don't want to do anything to give my God a black eye. But can I tell you that my flesh is weak, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak? Can I tell you that sometimes I'm riding down the road and a thought goes through my mind and I go, where did that come from? What in the world? Can I tell you that sometimes things come into my life and I go, man, I wouldn't have anybody at church know that just come through my mind or that just come into my life. But you know what? God knows it, and yet he loves me. Man, what a God we serve this morning. But you know the thing of it is, we don't spend enough time being a star for Jesus and pointing others to Jesus. That day, that night, during that time period, that star was pointing people to Bethlehem to come find a baby Jesus. But I'm thankful that I can tell you this morning that we're not still pointing people to a baby Jesus. The baby Jesus is awesome. I love Christmas time. I love the true meaning of what we're celebrating. But can I tell you that he didn't stay baby Jesus, but one day he growed up enough and he loved me and you and he lived a perfect life that he said, here, I know you can't, so let me give my life for you. Let me shed my blood for you. Not only do I want to point people and let them know, hey, I seen a sign the other day. It said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And then the next sign said, Jesus is the reason for every season. I want to tell you something this morning that, yeah, it's great to celebrate this baby Jesus that came. But I want to tell you that I'm thankful for Jesus Christ of the cross. I want to thank him this morning that he was Jesus Christ that was willing to give his life for mine. And then I want to tell you something else. I want to point them to a baby Jesus. I want to point them to a Jesus on the cross. And then I want to point them to a Jesus that's real in their life every single day, that is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And one day very soon, he's going to split that eastern sky and he's going to come get us. Preacher, how can you be excited about that? Listen, the Bible tells me that we can't even begin to comprehend what he's got for us. The Bible tells me that we can't even begin to understand what heaven's going to be like. Listen, we can think about the earthly things. We think about our sins being gone. We think about our troubles being gone. We think about trials being over. Hey, and we even think about being with our loved ones. We think about our loved ones who have been already taken on to heaven. We think about being with them and how joyful that's going to be. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe something that's going to blow your lid more than that is when you finally lay your eyes on Jesus Christ. When you finally see him in all his glory, I believe that's going to blow your lid off. Let's point people to Jesus Christ. Let's look into our lives and say, where are we pointing? Are we being a star for Jesus, the one true King, whose word will stand forever? As you stand to your feet this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, I told you it's going to be different this morning. But I want to tell you what's not different is that Jesus Christ is here and he's willing to do business with you if you're willing to do business with him. Preacher, I'm here this morning and I don't know Jesus Christ. I have never been saved. Don't know that I'm going to come up today. Don't know that I'm going to have that kind of strength today, but would you please pray for me? I don't want to miss an opportunity. I don't want to say no too many times. Preacher, would you pray for me that sometime I'll have that strength? Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do. Be just between me and you and God. Anyone in the congregation, preacher, I'm here this morning. I know that I'm saved. I can take you to the place where I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. But I'm not being a star for him. I'm not pointing men to the cross of Christ. I'm not pointing men to Jesus. Would you just pray for me that I can somehow or the other, I get my relationship right with God? I'm going to tell you how to do that. Come and ask him. He'll forgive you. Don't matter what you've done, he'll be right there for you. Preacher, would you just pray for me that I'll walk closer? God sees your hand. You put it right back down. See your hand. You put it right back down. I see your hand. Put it right back down. Preacher, pray for me. I want to point others to Jesus Christ. All right, here's the tricky one. Preacher, I'm here and I know that I'm saved. I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins. And look, I know I'm Baptist, and this is against Baptist rules. But for just a minute, I just want to raise my hands, both of them, and praise God for everything that he's done for me. Look at this, all over the house. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. You put your hands down. We just want to ask you, God, to continue to move. God, thank you that you are the one true God. That, God, you are the one that was willing to give your son for us, and we want to thank you for him. God, I pray that you'll help us to be what you'd have us to be, to point others to the cross of Christ. God, thank you that one day we have the promise. Help us to have the faith of the wise men. God, that we have a promise that you're coming to get us. We're going to be in your presence. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.